Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging in there with us. As always, we like to have you check us out on Facebook and all the good stuff that goes on there. Don, where else?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Interactive map. We talk about it all the time. It is super cool. Wherever in the... Actually, wherever in the U.S. you want to go, it's going to has a game fishing parks or whatever it's going to be. Click on the state, and you can find out what's going on in that state for seasons and licenses and you whatever you can possibly find out is going to be there with a DNR connection. So,
yep.
It's kind of funny when you having traveled across the U.S. and doing outdoors fishing, etc., how each state has its own terminology. I mean, you'd think the Minnesota DNR, then you'd think the next state would be Wisconsin DNR. You think it would be North Dakota. No, it's North Dakota Game Fish and Parks. It's Game Fish and Wildlife. It's fishing or, Florida.
Wyoming's different. Montana's different.
Florida's Fish and Wildlife, FWP or, it's got...
And gators.
Huh?
And gators.
And gators. And pythons.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of those invasives going on down there. But I always kind of laugh at that concept on, what's the name of this state's recognition for the outdoor people and how do they have enforcement? So I think the Western states have a lot more, and I believe this is correct, they have latitude in how they enforce. They have a lot more enforcement control, I think would be the best way to put it. They when they're out in the out and about, out in, wherever they might be, they're like, we can bring you to justice in whatever way we need to.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of a cool deal. But lots going on, guys. Wanted to jump in real quick, and I pulled up an article regarding Michigan turkey.
Okay.
And the reason I did, there it is. The reason I pulled it up, the turkey hunting in Michigan's got a different rule this year. And being that it's kicking off the spring turkey season, I want to make sure people were aware of it. But this year they're requiring all turkey hunters, they report the successful hunt within 72 hours of harvest or before transferring possession of the bird. And that may have, for some people, flown under people's radar, not recognize the fact that's got to happen. It can't be used as an excuse. The statewide season kicked off April 18th. Many counties, the couple of seasons following, they're not far behind. They can be reported. Those harvests can be reported online through the DNR Hunt Fish mobile app. A mandatory harvest reporting gives us a clear picture of the turkey harvest across the state, helps ensure sustainable populations for the future. It also allows hunters to see their real-time harvest information as the season progresses. To report it, they must use a unique license number that everyone will have and that's on their printed paper kill tag or listed in your electronic kill tag if they had an e-harvest at that time. It can be reported online by going to michigan.gov DNR harvest report or opening the app. And of course, you can do that if you wanted to go on the Valley Outdoors and click on the
it'll be there
tab. It'll be there. They'll receive a confirmation number and they use an electronic tag. They must validate the harvest in the app immediately after harvest. So remember that if you don't have a paper tag, you've got to be able to register it immediately. Wherever you're at, if you don't have a signal, make sure you do that because that is a violation if you come in and you don't have that registered. As for the transport rule, in general, Michigan hunters are allowed to transport their own and another person's lawfully taken game, but turkey hunters cannot transport or possess a turkey unless a validated kill tag is attached to the leg of the bird or the transporter has validated an e-harvest tag. Also, the hunter can't destroy the identity or the evidence of the sex of a turkey while in the field or transported in a motor vehicle. So they need to make sure they leave the beard on it and have everything else as well. Won't go through all the other things, but another major change is the number of turkey management units that are out there. They reduced the number of spring turkey management units from 14 to 3. Simplification. I like that idea. The turkey hunts, there's one Unit M, that's Upper Peninsula. Unit NN, that's the Northern Lower Peninsula. There's ZZ, the Lower Unit Peninsula, and then there's a bunch in there. So you got those zones that are available. And in this case, it's also a statewide spring turkey hunt. The license allows hunters to pursue turkey in public lands and private lands in the Upper Peninsula, and private lands and public in the Northern Lower Peninsula. So leftover licenses are available for each spring turkey hunt period until the end of the respective period, until quotas are reached. Unlimited licenses are available for the 0234 and 0301 hunt through May 31st. So check that on the Valley Outdoors. If you have any other questions, go to the DNR page for us, click on it, and find it.
Just click on the state. It'll be right there.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool thing to have. So making sure everybody is aware of some of those, as they say, pieces and parts, right? What do you want to jump into, Don? You want to jump into the summit? We talked about it. I think we're gonna. I'm hoping to have Ron Shera on next week and talk a little bit about some details and his takeaway.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was hoping I could get to that, but ran out of time.
Yeah, I. There's a lot of conversation out there about obviously pieces and parts. Al Lindner, good friend of the show, was at this event, and he opened the program talking about 55 years of fishing in Minnesota, which is obviously an icon, you know.
Well, and, yeah, he's known nationally, so.
And Minnesota has the best multi-species fishing in the entire country. Nothing really comes close to what we have to offer. And, you know, if you look at it across the board, it doesn't matter whether you're talking muskie. We have a world championship muskie fisheries in the state. We have world-class smallmouth fishing in the state. I mean, if you look at anything that is a consideration on some of those bigger game fish, it's there. It's not a Florida, obviously, because it's a different avenue, but you know, when you're looking at either smallmouth or largemouth bass, we do a heck of a job, and the smallmouth really thrive. You hear it when the guys are out here. The Bassmaster's on Mille Lacs, and Mille Lacs is just an amazing fishery and development piece. So pretty crazy on that side of it. But he also gave his thoughts on fishing in Minnesota, both past and present, after more than five decades of fishing. He said, the current walleye fishery is pretty damn good, and it's always good to see that. I think the important pieces in his next line, and I knew was, I hadn't seen it, but could it be better? Absolutely. Sure. And he's a big fan of the four fish limit with one over 20 inches. And that's what we have down here in Red Wing. We got that changed. So we're kind of ahead of the pack. We saw that happening. He said that Minnesota has also made strides with panfish. He noted that he sees more 14-inch crappies than he's seen in a long time, as well as some bigger bluegills. He voiced concern, however, about the muskie fishery, as well as Minnesota opening year-round bass fishing now. You're aware of that. That's now all year round, statewide with the catch and release season that started this year. So there's an article I was reading.
It's all catch and release, though.
Catch and release.
Yeah.
At this point. But there was an article that was put out. I was reading, prepping for the show, and it really is up to anglers to be able to say, we need to make sure we do this the right way with a year-round opening for bass fishing. And that's a challenge that comes up because there's some other fisheries that come up and that doesn't happen. So he said Minnesota's made currently the best state in the country for catching 1.5 to 3.5 pound largemouth. The reason the fishery is so good, because of regulations. 5 years from now, we're going to look at a meeting such as the MinFish meeting and say largemouth bass fishing isn't what it used to be. I believe they've opened the door for a problem, and he feels that's a concern with that year-round fishing. So,
well, there, I mean, anytime you catch a fish, there's an opportunity for a mortality, even if it is catch and release.
Right. He said the concern stems from the number of times big fish will be caught. That was the theme from multiple people throughout the day about many sport fish. How often can we recycle the fish before it has an impact? And that's true. It is. We're dealing with intelligent fishermen like we've never seen. We can't keep doing the things the same way we did them for 25 years. There's going to be a kickback. And that's part of one of the guys out that had spoken at the event, John Kemp from the DNR, fisheries, assistant fishery manager in Brainerd. They were talking creel surveys from Three Lakes and doing some other things with the forward-facing sonar. And that was kind of an interesting thought. He said on Three Lakes, forward-facing sonar, this is important. So on Three Lakes, that they took this on, let's see here, Central Lake, on Edward, South Long, and there's another one. Oh, Gull. So there you go. Edward, Small, South Long. Okay. And when they did this, the forward-facing sonar increased catch rates for those targeting walleyes and the majority of walleyes caught by using forward-facing sonar. The majority of them were caught using forward-facing sonar. They also showed increased catch rates that did not lead to increased harvests. So that was kind of an interesting thought. Catch rates for those targeting walleye non-forward-facing sonar was 0.45. Catch rates for those targeting walleyes forward-facing, 0.71.
What does that represent, 0.71?
It's a matter of the relative amount of time they put in to catch a fish.
Okay.
So walleyes caught by a forward-facing sonar, 83%. Forward-facing sonar, 70%, 72%, average years using forward-facing sonar, 3.6. Walleyes released, 89. That was on Gull. Same thing holds true on South Long. 88% were caught using forward-facing sonar. Oh, my goodness.
You know, it's kind of funny the lakes you mentioned there, because I kind of cut my teeth walleye fishing on South Long.
Yeah.
You can rest assured I didn't hurt the fishery any.
It's crazy.
Yeah, well, at that time, the only thing I knew what to do was pull about a number seven.
Trouble, or daredevil?
Rapla.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Stick Rapla.
So here's something else that you and I have talked about at length, right? So the creel survey they had, mindsets changed for why many people fish. Prior creel surveys in Gull, 45% of the fish were released in 2013. 37% were released in 99. And that's compared to 89% in the 2025 study. Just 4.7% of anglers surveyed in 2025 on Gull Lake, just 5%, said they released walleyes because the fish were too small. 80% said they did so because they catch and release their anglers. Okay. We used to fish to keep fish, and now we go to fish just to fish. Right. So it's changing that thought process. Dynamic change from what we're experiencing. The problem we have, and this is one of the big challenges from my standpoint, when we look at what forward-facing sonar does and the impact of catch mortality rate. The catch mortality rate, especially when you're dealing with summer, and I've experienced this in tournaments time and time again, the bass fishing, you don't have that impact of mortality catch rate anywhere near the same thing you do with walleye. You stress those fish because they're maybe in a deeper depth. Because it's the summer depth, you're going to have that problem. In spring, not anywhere near the same. Summer, it's a problem. And I will tell you right now, they haven't done a study. They said, the bass fishing study is da, 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 da. No, I'm sorry, not buying it. And that's the challenge that comes up. So when you look at it, Jason Mitchell, friend of the show, had him on here many times, Jason Mitchell Outdoors, he said, important thing here is educating the angler, which I agree. You can educate people and push them to look at conserving fisheries across the United States.
Right.
The challenge to that, and I will say this flat out, was 2 years ago when he had the perch fishing on Mille Lacs, that somebody heard that there was fish going. Somebody said, let's go. They put a forward-facing sonar down, found the fish. They had, they're guessing, they know it was 750% increase in catch rate. They're calculating it was over 1,000% increase in catch rate, and the fish went from a 30 fish limit down to, I think it was 10 and 5 because the fishery was almost devastated in one winter,
winter
fishing season.
Yeah.
So that's where you can educate and talk about it. But if somebody gets on a bite and you're going to catch perch, nobody thinks about that. It's right. Like, oh, no big deal. Really? No,
same
it's
thing
not
happens
the case.
With panfish, you know, sunfish.
Yeah.
Crappies.
They're schooling fish.
Yep.
You put a...
You find them.
You find a pot of them, you're going to...
Yep.
You're going to devastate it. And it doesn't matter what fishery that happens to be. And that's the you know, the big thing. Wrap up some conversation. Muskie mortality known to increase with warmer water. Obviously handling too long. A lot of people dealing with barbless hooks. And they're looking at doing some different things with experimental panfish regs. But really the... Not to go too far into it, but, you know, there was a lot of good things that were talked about. I think there's a lot of positives that come out of minfish without question. Minfish is the only thing that we have in the state of Minnesota that can lobby and say, look, you need to look at what we're spending on fishing. You need to do this and has a voice for us. And if you ever have a chance to contribute to minfish, just simply go on their website and throw some bucks their way. It's the absolutely the only lobbying and spokespeople for fishermen across the state of Minnesota. And I truly believe that they are the ones that are going to make a difference. And they have been. And I believe they've really made an inference and direction change on that. That's why we want to have Rana next week. We'll talk about some of the hatcheries. He's been talking about it. They're being held together with duct tape and baling wire. So not good. But positives coming down the road. Speaking of positives, we get to go out and do some stuff this weekend. I'm excited about that. It's going to be fun. You guys, oh, Don, you're going to have fun?
Ava? Oh, yeah.
Always.
Well, we certainly hope you will. And those of you guys listening, thanks for hanging out with us. Enjoy the outdoors this weekend. Have some fun. It might be a little bit bumpy. Who knows what's going to happen with the weather. But enjoy it. Have fun. For the Valley Outdoors, we are out.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.